It would be remiss of me if I didn't mention something that Dion kind of brought it up. Years ago, Port Wayne Emmy had a new preacher, and that preacher was me. And when I came here, I was welcomed, with the exception of one man. Carolyn Monaco was a welcoming committee in herself, and she welcomed me completely. But that fellow she was married to, he just barked. He was rough. And so I figured out after about 3 or 4 weeks that Brother Monaco and I didn't get along. He didn't like me, and I was starting not to like him. So I went to him and I said, "Well, what is it about me you don't like?" He said, "Well, I like you a lot." We became very close friends. He's been a steady soldier all these years. We've seen a lot of battles together. We've had a lot of laughter. He was the first one there when my wife died. He has supported in every way this congregation, and he has done so many things that I know nobody else knows except the ones that he did it with, that he gave to them when they were in need. Frank, it has been an honor for me to serve with you, and I've learned a lot from you. And so God bless you, and as I said in the bulletin, Godspeed to you. I'm glad you've got Frank and Darcy to go with. Enough of that. We're getting rid of Tim for a week, but so. We're going to finish this second chapter today. And I wasn't going to let him read all of that because it's too long of a reading. We'll touch on it as we go along. People have a hard time sometimes with identifying themselves. And sometimes I think about Christians that are going to find out when they stand at the judgment seat that they thought that they were Christians and find out that they weren't. Find out that they have wasted their time in the religious world when they should have just gone on and had fun because they didn't make it to heaven. Did we plug that thing back in? Yes, we did. Okay. So in Romans 2:17 through 20, "But if you call yourself a Jew and rely on the law and boast in God and know his will and approve what is excellent, because you are instructed from the law, and if you are sure that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of children, having in the law embodiment of knowledge and truth." Can you imagine that you think that you are all of these things and you go about to do all of those things? And they had a reliance upon religion without really having obedience. They were following man's law many times that they had added to the law. They had added what was called the oral law. And they were following that because they added some things to what God said. to Moses on Mount Sinai. And so they got to thinking that they knew the law so well that they were guides and lights, and they were teachers. And one of the things that you recognize in the Bible is if you're going to be a teacher, that you're going to be judged more harshly than others. So you better be careful what you teach. So knowing the law is not the same as living the truth. They may have known the law, and then they may have added some things to it. In fact, the Bible says that they were teaching for commandments, the traditions of men, or teaching for doctrine. So do we rely on religious background? In other words, because I am a member of the Church of Christ and I was raised in the Church of Christ. Was anybody ever really raised in the Church of Christ? They say it all the time, but I don't think they were. We've got a religious background, and my mother and my dad, they weren't Christians, but I look at Frank and he, Angela, they just naturally came in because their parents were members of the church. No, that's not the way it worked, is it? And church attendance, oh, and by the way, I'm getting worried here in this congregation. I'll just say it now. We're getting lower and lower on church attendance in the Bible study. And that concerns me. And Bible knowledge, boy, we've got Bible knowledge. I just thought today, all the Bible knowledge we have here in this congregation. But that's really not going to get you to heaven unless you're going to live it. And family heritage. We think just because our parents were something, we are something. So here's the question as we start. Are we more concerned with appearance than faithful living? That's a deep question. And I know that every Sunday when we come here, we feel very religious. But are we truly Christians? In 1 Samuel 15, if you remember, this is where Saul lost his kingship because he didn't do what God said. And when he came, he said, I did everything the Lord said, and Samuel said, as he listened to one of the sheep Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. So he says there's something going much deeper than you're just sacrificing something. In fact, he's going to say later on, I'm not going to accept your sacrifices. He had commanded the sacrifices, but because they didn't do it with their heart, he was not going to accept it. In Micah 6:6-8, and I preached sermon on this before, but let's just notice some things here. And they're wanting to know what it is that pleases God. How can I really please God? So what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and calves a year old? Will he accept that? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil, and that's olive oil? They couldn't supply that if they wanted to. And he says, shall I give my firstborn, that's ungodly, for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Now, he didn't say to love kindness by you doing it. We are to love kindness when we see it and when we do it. These three things really is a summation of what God expects out of you and I. But the Jews thought that they were perfect before God. They thought that they were doing everything right. And they had what's called the hypocrisy without practicing it. In Romans 2:21 through 24, he says, "You then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? While you preach against stealing, do you steal? You say that one must not commit adultery, do you commit adultery?" And they're going to answer in this, "No, we don't do those things. You abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law dishonor God by breaking the law. For it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you." What you have here is the same thing as David coming before, and he's going to judge that man that had stolen the lamb of that one that had been out there that only had one little pet lamb. And he says there was another man that had a bunch, and he went over in the night and he stole that one little lamb. And David got really upset, and he was judging that day. And what's your judgment going to be? And Samuel said to David, "Thou art the man." And David all of a sudden realized, "I have sinned terribly." And they went from there. This is exactly what Paul is doing to these individuals. You are the ones that are so happy about the Gentiles being sinners that you are the ones that are doing identically the same thing. The preacher forgets to teach himself. That's what's happening. It is easy for me to design sermons around you instead of designing sermons around me. When we're teaching brethren, we need to be very, very careful. So let's look at the Jews for just a moment and think about as they say, "No, we don't do any of those things. We adhere to the law of Moses, and we are doing just what God wants us to do." And the problem is that the teachers were glorying in the law. That becomes a problem. Their glory is in looking at the law instead of the lawgiver and putting the lawgiver into their hearts is the very problem that they had. He did not see that the law does not hold back sin. In fact, when you sin, it condemns you. The law was given to the lawbreakers. It was not given to one that was not a lawbreaker. But when one law broke the law stood there and condemned him. They did not see that they were condemned. When we fail to live our faith outside, we mock God. In other words, people look at you and they're going to judge what you are by how you conduct yourself as a Christian. We know that all men fail to keep the law perfectly. But the Jews had the idea if we just did a little better than the other guy, we will be all right. The teacher despised idols, but he got his riches from plundering. Look at this. In John 2:13 through 15, the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons, and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. They had went to the house of God, the temple, out there in the temple yard, and they were selling sacrifices to people and charging them and making money. And Jesus said, "You're making my Father's house into something that's not." So I want us to look at some things this morning for just a little bit and just question ourselves as we talk about this. Then the Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." And he answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and mother,' and whoever reviles father and mother must surely die. But you say, 'If anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father.' So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. We become so religious that we forget the ones that we need to take care of. We become so in love with the assembling that we miss the helping those that are in need." So I want to give you a list here of some things and just ask yourself, do I fit in with the Pharisees? "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Isn't that a terrible word? Hypocrite. "You shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, for you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter it to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel across sea and land and make a single proselyte. And when he becomes a proselyte, you made him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves." Now, I want you to just think about it. It is very easy in the church to get to thinking that we might be superior in some way. We're not. We may be better off than other people, but we're not better than other people. And these people were hypocritical because they were pretending to be one thing when they were another. And they converted them to Judaism, and when they finished with them, they made them more child of the devil than they were before. It's a little bit like the Corinthian congregation. He says that they, coming to have the Lord's Supper, despised the church in the way that they were doing it. He says, "Woe to you blind guides who say, 'If anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he's bound by his oath.'" Do you see what they're doing? They're taking the law of Moses and they're twisting it and adding things to it, or that oral law. "You blind fools, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that has made the gold sacred? And you say, 'If anyone swears by the altar, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift that is on the altar, he is bound by his oath.' You blind men, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? So whoever swears by the altars swears by it and everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And whoever swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. Do you realize they didn't realize they were doing these things? They were going about doing all of these things and they were being hypocritical. And Jesus had to tell them what was wrong with them. They didn't believe it even when he told them. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and thankfulness. When I was in Chanute, Kansas, there was a fellow that didn't come to church. And I talked to the elders about it because the guy was out playing golf and all of these things. And they said, well, we can't do anything about that, really, because he gives $50 a week. Well, he says you ought to give, but you ought to have practiced justice and mercy. Justice is treating everybody fairly. And mercy is realizing that there's a problem and I want to help. I feel sorry for that individual. You blind guides straighten out a great, and you, I'm having trouble with my eyes. You're straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. Have you ever heard that saying? You're straining at a gnat. We're looking at the little fine points all the time. And there's nothing wrong with looking at fine points if you are practicing what you're supposed to. You build the tombs of the prophets and decorate the monuments of the righteous. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. If you ever saw a country that has this problem, you can look at it here. This is one of the things that people are so selfish, and they want indulgence. We want things, 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 and we're not caring about each other. In fact, there is a hatred of each other that I've never seen before. Why is that? Because we can't get enough of ourselves. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean. That's one of the things when I eat, I always know we have clean dishes. Paige is a neat freak. But what would you think if we didn't even wash the dishes and then brought it back and put it on there the next time? Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but when are full of dead people, bones, and all uncleanness, so you are also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Do you realize people are wanting to get rid of law today? They don't like law. If you don't like law, you become an outlaw. And if you're an outlaw, you're a criminal. So I want to talk for just a minute about the true value of religious symbols. For circumcision, indeed, is of value if you obey the law. Did you get that? It's great if you obey the law. But if you break the law, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. So what he's saying is very simple. He's not saying perfectly here. He is saying your attitude towards the law and what you do. Circumcision was to be a sign of something that had happened in your heart. It was a reminder that you had been dedicated to God, and that circumcision, every time you knew that, it indicated what was going on in your heart. He says, so if a man who is uncircumcised, that'd be a Gentile, keeps the precepts of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? In other words, he's been circumcised in his heart. Then he who is physically uncircumcised but keeps the law will condemn you who have the written code and circumcision but break the law. That's a serious thing. That here we are, we have all of the availability from God. We have all of the instruction we need. And yet, when it comes down to it, has our heart really been circumcised? Do we have that in our heart that we are dedicated to God no matter what happens? And outward symbols are worthless without inward transformation. I have to have something changed inside of me. Do you remember what he said in James 1, 26 and 27? Pure religion and undefiled before God is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and keep oneself unspotted from the world. God is asking us to get perfection in our heart when we get Christ in our heart and we are transformed into what God wants us to and not like the world. We should be different. And we should be here not trying to judge so much as we're here to trying to help so much. To many people, baptism is a ritual. Did you realize that? Thousands and thousands of people think that baptism is nothing more. But the Bible says that baptism is the very place that we get contact the blood of Christ. And communion without sincerity is blasphemy any way you look at it. How involved are we when we partake of the Lord's Supper? I know Crystal and I have been studying this. And the one thing I know about her, she wants to do it right. We may disagree on some fundamentals, but she wants to do it right. And she wants brethren to do it right. And that is, we put our mind in the place that we need to. You see, I believe that we eat and drink the blood of Christ, eat the body of Christ and drink the blood of Christ every day. That his humanity is the one thing we eat, Christ. He's my food, he's my drink, he's my everything. So the identity of the true Jew, for no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical, but a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, but the spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. So because I say I'm a Jew or I'm a Christian doesn't make it so. What makes it so is that I truly am in love with Jesus Christ. And like the Apostle Paul, it's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. When we get there, then we have come to the place that God wants us to be because we're worshiping truly in our heart. The real point of circumcision is the heart. That's all I wanted to say today. I just wanted to say, let us be Christians. And let us overlook the grouchy people like Frank. And come down to the place where we see the true heart of people. And Frank, I've seen your heart. when people say, those people in Port Hueneme are truly Christians. They truly love the Lord. We have accomplished a bunch. But more than that, when the Lord says, come in, thou good and faithful servant, we have made it. So, Jews boasted in the law and confidence in themselves, and like a student with a lot of books, but never studies or applies. Are we boasters? I hope that we're boasting in the gospel of Christ. Hypocritical Jews preached against sin while living in sin. You can't live in sin and be a Christian. If a traffic light malfunctions, it causes accidents. And if we malfunction as Christians, a lot of people are going to be lost. Circumcision without obedience is worthless. And wearing a wedding ring without faithfulness is meaningless. In fact, it's hypocritical. We need to be faithful to the Lord, because he is our husband. We have been chosen by him to be his bride, and we need to be faithful. So the baptism is ready. The water's ready back here. If you're ready to obey the gospel and come to him and give your life to him and really, truly obey him, you can be a Christian today. Won't you come?